You are listening to a podcast from Vineyard Church of Augusta. For more information, visit vineyardaugusta.org.
This morning, we're going to conclude our series on the Holy Spirit in Lent. We've been in Luke chapter 4, looking at Jesus' time in the wilderness. It's the beginning of his ministry. It's the beginning right after he's baptized in water, right after he hears the Father's voice saying, "You are my Son, whom I love, with you I'm well pleased," and the Holy Spirit descends upon him like a dove, filling him, empowering him, and actually leading him into the wilderness, where he's tempted, and he fasts for 40 days and 40 nights. And we see that in the wilderness, Jesus effectively uses Scripture to come against the attacks of the enemy. Now, keep in mind that in the beginning, Genesis 1, God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke, and it was. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And then we see a reflection of that in John chapter 1, where John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then later we see where the Word became flesh, and he came and dwelt among us. He moved into our neighborhoods. And this is Jesus. And this is Jesus, and we see Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus, the Word of God, the God incarnate coming and standing on and just coming against the attack of the enemy based on the Word of God, the Spirit-breathed Word of God. Last week, we talked about fasting and the importance of fasting and prayer. Not just fasting, that's just going without a meal, but fasting and prayer, and the important part of feeding on Scripture. And that's what we're going to focus on today, feasting on and living in the power of God's Word. There are approximately 1,800 words that are recorded in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that Jesus spoke, about 1,800. And about 10% of those words are words that Jesus is quoting from the Old Testament, including the words that we see here in Luke chapter 4. We've been reading over that throughout this series, where Jesus responds to the temptations of Satan with words that God spoke to the children of Israel, the very same words that we find recorded in Deuteronomy 6 and Deuteronomy 8, as they were in the wilderness, not for 40 days, but for 40 years. And we see Jesus speaking throughout his ministry words from the Old Testament that he had studied, that he had heard, that he had learned, that he had deposited into his heart and into his spirit. And we see him pulling these out as the Holy Spirit inspires him, both in the wilderness. We see it as he does the ministry that God the Father had sent him here to do. And ultimately, we see it on the cross. Many of the seven words that he speaks from the cross that we're going to be looking at our Good Friday service are words that Jesus learned that are first spoken in the Old Testament. So in the wilderness and really throughout his entire time here on earth, Jesus defeated Satan by submitting himself to his Father's will for him and by fully trusting in his Father's word. He fully trusted that God the Father said would do what he said he would do. He built his life, his ministry, everything that he did on that. And so this is the foundation, this is the model that Jesus gives us. And it's one that if Jesus needed this, how much more do we need this? And why do we need God's Word? God's Word is essential to everything in our lives because every issue that you faced last week, every issue that you'll face this week, every issue in your life and my life is covered by the truth and by the wisdom that we see in God's Word. People say, "Oh, the Bible, that's irrelevant. It's no longer relevant to our 21st century world." It is more relevant than ever. It's never not been relevant to the situations and the circumstances that we find going on in the world around us. I read something in the Wall Street Journal yesterday. It was very interesting, and it reminded me of our culture. We live in a very biblically illiterate world. I mean, would you agree with that? So we live in a biblically illiterate world, and unfortunately, a lot of that biblical illiteracy has crept into the church. And so I'm reading this article that talks about, it was from Oxford Dictionary, named the word post truth as its word of the year for 2016. Now, remember what happened in 2016. There was a lot happening globally. The Brexit vote in the UK, the United Kingdom, our own presidential election here in the United States, and a lot of people were using the term post-truth to describe some of the dynamics politically that were going on. And I don't want to get on one side or the other of the political debate, but that's not the point of this. But the word post-truth, it doesn't mean a time after, like post-war or post-game. In this sense, it means a specified concept has become unimportant or irrelevant. So when we read the word post-truth, it means that truth has become irrelevant or unimportant. That's pretty crazy, isn't it? When we consider that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, and he is he's God's Word incarnate, coming, the Word dwelling among us, and we're ignoring him, and therefore we come up with ideas like post-truth, that truth, whatever that might be, is irrelevant or is unimportant. So, and I wonder if our view of that and the state we find our world in has anything to do with the fact that we don't know and we're not applying God's word. It's a question worth pondering. Some of us look at God's word and we say, hey, Jesus was a good teacher. I like a lot of his teaching. And we take a pick and choose approach to God's word. But how many of us know that doesn't work? That doesn't work at all. It's like, God, I love what you say about love. That makes me feel really good. But I'm not so hot about what you say about me forgiving my enemy. That just doesn't fly real well. Or God, I think it's really cool that you tell us to be kind to one another. But you know, your views on my sexuality, no. That's sort of the posture that many of us try to view Scripture with sort of a pick and choose. Oh, I'll take this, but I won't take that. No, thank you. But that builds in our lives not a strong foundation. Not the rock that God wants us to build our life on, Jesus Christ, who was the Word and shows us how to live out the Word. It's more of a foundation of building on sand, that when the storms of life will come, and they do come, we find ourselves completely washed out because we're not building our lives on the strong foundation, which is God's Word. There's a lot of scriptural passages that I would encourage you to spend some time this week that just talks about the importance of God's Word. Every time I talk about Scripture, remember that God's Word is Spirit inspired. It is Spirit breathed. As Paul puts this way in his letter to Timothy, he said, all Scripture is God-breathed, Spirit-breathed, Spirit-inspired. It's useful for teaching, for rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. All these things coming from a loving God, Father God, who is for us, who is not against us, who, when we were his enemy, did not withhold heaven's best from us, but sent his only Son to earth to live for us, to die for us, and to show us how to live. And Paul later, to his letter to the church at Colossae, he encourages the people there to let God's word not just read it, not just let it just sort of wipe through your mind, but let it dwell in you richly. Let it dwell in you. Let it be a deposit that finds a good home, that you're constantly meditating on, that you're reading it, you're thinking about it, you're processing it, you're allowing the Holy Spirit and asking, inviting the Holy Spirit to show you what's going on here, to let it come and impact you. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And we are a church that believes that we can hear God's voice. We believe, we want to hear God's voice, that God still speaks. And the ultimate plumb line, the ultimate gold standard that we need to judge and test everything that we hear from God or sense that we're hearing is God's word. His written word. We need to know that so that we can discern. And Scripture tells us test and weigh. We need to be able to discern what we're hearing. Is this God? Is this in keeping with the character of God that I read about here in His Word? Or is this askew? Is this way off? Is this like a God who is bitter and angry and ready to bite my head off and is condemning and sending me far away? That's not God. That's not the God in Scripture. So it is important as we seek to hear God's voice for our own selves, but we also want to hear God's voice in order to minister the things of God's kingdom, gifts of the Holy Spirit, as Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, that we are hearing God's voice so that we can speak words of encouragement, of strength, of comfort, that line up with Scripture. Some of the most powerful, timely words that I've received from people wanting to encourage me were passages of Scripture that God impressed them to share with me at a timely, pivotal moment. And so we need to know, we need to have those deposits in our hearts and in our spirits to be able to be used in that way. Otherwise, we're just going to be just flying off our, you know, just things that are not grounded in Scripture, that really don't hold any meat and value. And so we want to have it rooted in that. You know, in our worship time, the songs that we pick for worship, they have to be biblically rooted, reflecting the truth of who God is, of how He responds to us, or we don't want to include them. It's important that all of those things just be reemphasized throughout our time on Sundays and throughout our time during the week so that we can reflect on those. Because just as God spoke in the beginning, when there was darkness and void, He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. At creation, God spoke and transformed chaos into order. And guess what? He still loves to do that when it comes to the chaos in our lives. He loves to speak in that with the truth of His Word and bring order to the chaos of our lives. He loves to do that. And the Bible, even though it is the best-selling book year after year after year after year after year every month, it is the best-selling book, even though many consider it irrelevant or out of date, it continues to be the best-selling book year after year after year after year. But it is not like any other book. It is not like any other book. As the writer of Hebrews puts it, it is powerful. The Word of God, it's alive. It is active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. I love the fact that we can read God's Word, and I don't read it just for information. Yeah, I can read it for information, but I read it for life change. I read it for direction. I read it for peace. I can recall so many times when I've been like really anxious, and I would just take God's Word and begin to read it and sense and feel and experience the peace of the Holy Spirit filling my mind and my spirit. I remember one time on a flight from Augusta to Charlotte. It was in a small plane, and of course, on the back seat, which I hate. It's hot, and I'm like freaking out because I just know there's not enough air in that plane for me to be able to live. Been there? That was my experience that day on that plane. I'm flying by myself, thank God, so I didn't embarrass the rest of my family. But I'm cool on the outside, but inside I am freaking out and dying. And I just reached, I had prayed, but it was like, okay, God, I reach in my bag and I pull out a New Testament and I begin reading. I don't remember what I read. I wasn't comprehending what I read. But in that moment, I sensed God's peace. And just it was just that connection of a loving Father speaking to me of His love and His peace that I'm with you. I had a good friend who had to have an MRI, and it was a closed MRI. He's more claustrophobic than I am. And I remember one day he calls me, and he's freaking out on the phone. He's like, "I need you to come over to this imaging center right now." And I was just up the street from where it was. And I just went, and he said, "You got to be still, I'm going to be still, but just talk to me." So for 45 minutes, I did. I just stood there, and I just talked. He couldn't talk back, but I just talked. And I've thought many times about how, and he thanked me afterwards, said, "Thank you. I don't know. I couldn't have gotten through that if you hadn't come and done that." It just got my mind off of my situation. And I know God's word's so much more powerful than that. And I've experienced that in my own life, in that plane, I remember that. God's word, it gives us certainty. It gives us direction for our lives. If you got some time this week and you want to read more about just the power of God's word, read the longest chapter in all of the Bible, Psalm 119. It has weeks of information about that we could preach on about just the power of God's word and the role that he wants it to play in our lives. And one of those primary roles is just giving us certainty and direction for our lives. I love the familiar passage in 105 that God's word is a lamp unto our feet, a light to our path. Those are two different words. We often think of them as the same word, but the lamp unto my feet, the light unto my path, it's almost like there's a flashlight for the immediate things, for the details of the immediate today things. And then there's like this big, big spotlight that just floodlight that just goes out over my future that God chose to say, okay, this is the way I want you to go, the big picture. It's that detail thing and the big picture that as we apply God's word, as we seek to live according to it, that he will give us details for today and discernment for tomorrow. And as we seek to just live according to his word and be obedient, we know that God always blesses obedience. We don't get to dictate how he blesses that obedience and when he blesses that obedience, but he always blesses obedience. And each time we read God's word, we are making like a spiritual deposit. There are days that feel more meaningful. There are days that feel more impactful. There are days that seem more satisfying than others. But all of them are good deposits, good spirit-breathed, Holy Spirit-breathed deposits that God wants us to make in cooperation with him. And with those deposits, he's building that very, very strong foundation. There are some times that I get what I consider general insight about situations. And then there are those times that I feel like God's speaking to me in that moment with something very specific that I needed to hear at that particular time. There are many, many examples of that. Probably for me, one of the strongest was way back in 1995. I had just left the TV station that I had been working with for about 8.5 years and made the decision to come on staff here at the church. And I was doing some study of what our version of Vineyard Institute, our distance learning program, was. Back in 1995, I was doing a course on the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. And I was reading in Leviticus, and Leviticus can be really boring, okay? Just be honest. It's about the rules that the priests need to abide by to be God-honoring and the things that they need to do. And it was time for a bathroom break, all right? So I go to the bathroom, and then I walk by the mirror, and I'm like, as I'm washing my hands, just make sure we know that, notice I need a haircut. Yes, I needed a haircut. That was 1995, and I needed a haircut. And I, before I had come on staff at the church, when I was working at the TV station, I actually got all my haircuts free because we had a trade with a studio downtown. And I thought, should I go back there? Now I'm going to have to pay there. And I liked the person there, but I had always heard that person was involved with the occult. And I also had heard, I also remembered that this particular person was the only person that had an overtly negative reaction to my sharing that I was leaving the TV station to go on staff at my church. I mean, it's like, you're doing what? And it was just this sort of almost angry kind of thing. I thought, that was a little odd. But anyway, so I'm thinking about that. I'm like, I need to get a haircut. What, you know, and it wasn't really anything I was thinking that strongly about, but it was just sort of in the back of my mind. I go back and resume my reading, Leviticus chapter 19. And this is where I resume this chapter, and this is what it reads in verses 26 and 27. Do not practice divination or seek omens, and do not cut the hair at the sides of your head. Loud and clear. All right, that was okay. I get it. So I don't have those things happen very often, but in that moment, it's like, okay, God, I'm sort of thinking about it. It wasn't something I was really asking for an answer for, but you wanted me to have an answer, so I took it as that. So anyway, God's word gives us wisdom for our lives. Wisdom is not just smarts. It's not just intelligence, but it's how to live life well. And God tells us, if you want wisdom, ask for it. If you want godly wisdom, ask Him for it, and He will give it to us. And one of the ways that He wants to give it to us is through His Word. He wants to give it to us through His Word. And one of the most practical ways for us to gain wisdom on how just to interact with one another, how to respond to our spouse or our children, how to do our jobs well, all those kinds of things, is found in the book of Proverbs. If you've got if you feel like you lack wisdom, ask for it and read Proverbs. Read Proverbs. And the cool thing about Proverbs is there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. And how many days are there in the month? Anywhere from 28 to 31, right? So the cool thing about Proverbs, because I don't read Proverbs every day, but you know what? Like, okay, I've got a minute. I'm waiting for an appointment. Open up your YouVersion app on your phone, and today's March 18th, read the 18th Proverb. And whatever day you find yourself on, if you're not in the habit of doing that, that's okay. But like, okay, April 2nd, I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 2. And there's just so much good wisdom. My parents really encouraged me early on to spend a lot of time reading the Proverbs, and I have. And even recently been going back and really revisiting them. And I'm so thankful for that. And I'm also reminded, and I've been reminded of the things that I need to reapply and the wisdom that God gives us through those Proverbs. And I would encourage you to take a look at that. And not that the wisdom of God is just in the Proverbs. God's wisdom is throughout His Word. But He gives that wonderful book to give just a lot of very practical wisdom, and then practical wisdom in the book of James in the New Testament. God's Word gives us wisdom. It also promotes purity in our lives. We live in a very perverse world. God's given us so many wonderful things, and Satan loves to take those wonderful things and contaminate them. He loves to make them perverse. And God calls us to purity, and one of the ways that we can invite His purity into our lives, receiving Jesus, inviting the Holy Spirit, and receiving His Word. How can a young person, the writer of Psalm 119 says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to Your Word, God. I seek You with all my heart. Do not let me stray from Your commands. I have hidden Your Word in my heart that I might not sin against You. Now, I'm not saying that if we read God's Word all the time that we're never going to sin. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that this loving Father who gives us words of that reflect His love and His affirmation for us, the fact that He is for us, that He wants us to do well, He wants us to live our best life. Jesus comes to give life to the full. He's for us. And His words are another reminder of that. His commands, His teachings, His direction is also for us in that. And so if we're regularly reading the Bible, we're going to sense, we're going to see, we're going to have a greater level of discernment. The Holy Spirit's going to show us. Because remember, this is the Spirit-breathed Word of God. And every time we go and we spend 5 minutes or an hour in God's Word, always invite the Holy Spirit to come and to make God's Word come alive to us. It's an encounter with God. It's not just reading words on a page. You know, Jesus was victorious in the wilderness and throughout His whole life here on the earth, ultimately through His death and His resurrection on the cross. We see that He was victorious. Why? Because He fully submitted to His Father's will. He also fully trusted His Father's Word. And there comes that point for all of us where we have to make that decision, but it's not just a one-time thing. It's an ongoing decision that, God, I submit my will to Your will. Not my will, but Your will be done. Father, I trust You. I trust Your Word. I trust Your Word in spite of the circumstances around me. I trust Your Word that as I go through the fire, I will not be burned. As I go through these waters, I will not drown. They will not overtake me, even though I feel like there's a 100-pound weight chained to my leg. I know, God, that Your Word is true, and I choose to trust in your word and to believe your word. And it's what Jesus did in the wilderness. It's what he did on the cross. And it's what he did throughout his whole time here on earth. And this is the example that he gives to us. God's word ensures victory for our lives. Back in Joshua chapter 1, Moses has died. Moses had been leading the children of Israel throughout the wilderness in their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. He had led them. He had passed away. The leadership for the children of Israel now rested in the hands of Joshua. God had called him to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And God speaks a lot of wonderful, powerful words of affirmation and comfort and direction to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. But I love chapter 1 verse 8, where God tells Joshua, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and you will be successful. Prosperous and successful based on the system of the kingdom of God, not on the system of this world, but on the basis of the values of the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, success is based on one thing and one thing alone, and that thing is obedience. Obedience to God's word, trusting his word, and doing his word. John Wimber, the founder of the Vineyard, what an incredible man that God so powerfully used to just bring a reawakening to not just the Vineyard, but the body of Christ, renewal and focus on the kingdom of God, inviting God's rule and reign into every part of our lives, into every part of us. Lord, your kingdom come, your rule and reign. You come and set things right according to your standards, not my standards, not the standard of this world. John Wimber, he would often say, we want to be people who are word workers just as Jesus was. Jesus came to earth to do the word, not just to speak it, not just to think about it, but he was the word worker. He came and he did the ministry the Father had sent him here to do, and he calls us to be the same kind of people, that we are not just hearing the word. That's good. We need to hear the word, but to understand that to hear the word means to do the word. John Wimber would say, he said, I want our people to be not just biblically literate, but I want them to be biblically obedient. And that's the key, that we would be people who know God's word, that we let it dwell richly in us, that we think about it, that we meditate on it, that we do it, that we let it change us, let it transform us. And ultimately, God's word produces and strengthens faith in our lives. As Paul puts in Romans chapter 10, he says, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ, words about Christ. It produces and it strengthens faith in our lives. So this hearing, again, it's not just I heard somebody read this, and I heard somebody, preach this the other day. Okay, but are you changed by that? Are you changed by that? Have you allowed the Holy Spirit to show you, okay, what does this mean for my life today and for this week? What does this passage of submit to one another as in reverence to Christ, what does that mean in my marriage relationship? What does that mean in my friendship? What does that mean in my relationship with my coworkers? It's those kinds of questions, inviting the Holy Spirit-breathed Word of God into the conversations, that we're not just hearers, but that we're hearers and doers. To hear God's Word, to feed on it as an ongoing practice, and to heed it, to say yes to what we read. To not pick and choose based on what makes us comfortable, but to know that God, who loves us, who is for us, is giving us His Word, is giving us directions and guidelines for our lives that leads us to eternal life in Jesus Christ alone. Let's stand together.